Well, good morning, Grace Point. What a blessing the praise and worship that we had today, and the organ music from Scott Arnold. I mean, this place is so full of talent that glorifies the name of the Lord. I have to tell you, I could have stood over there and praised the Lord all day long with this music. And hopefully you got some encouragement out of that, and that you were able to bless the Lord and praise the Lord at home. I think that it's so great. And it's such a, just to have the, just experience the Spirit of the Lord in this church, and as well as at home, it's such a wonderful thing. So it's really awesome. It's hard to follow that. It's hard to follow the organ music. It's hard to follow the praise and worship. But you know, by the grace of God and by the Holy Spirit, we're going to move on this morning. So thank you, Ken, Will, Vincent, and Micah for the wonderful praise and worship music again. Thank you, Tim, Bob, Scott, Paulette, Carrie, for your invaluable labors in the back. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes, not only during the service, but throughout the week and throughout the month, that are a real blessing to the church. Today we're going to be primarily in Galatians chapter 5. So go ahead and turn there to verse 22. Where we will dive into the 9 different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Why is it important to understand the fruit of the Spirit? Because the fruit of the Spirit is evidence of growth in our lives. We identify an apple tree or an orange tree or a lemon tree by the fruit, by the leaves first, and by the fruit that ultimately grows on that tree. One of the fondest memories I have of our time in Japan was the big white Japanese peaches that you could only get in the summer. I loved it when the market out in town started selling them. These great big old peaches were covered in a soft styrofoam net, and they were generally a little bit pricey. There were ads all over the place for them. Those peaches were celebrated on trains and advertisements, restaurants, everywhere. They were pleasing to the eye, fragrant to smell, full of juicy, delicious flesh, and I loved them ice cold after working in the yard in the heat of the day. I really miss those peaches. There's nothing like anything you can get here. Most of the peaches we find here in the States are yellow, a little small, but they do taste good. However, they don't hold a candle to a white Japanese peach. There is a lesson in this for us this morning, and I'm excited to share it with you. The scripture says that a follower of Christ will bear fruit. What is fruit? In the case of spiritual fruit, it is proof that we are a Christian. If a person has been saved by grace, they will produce proof of that transformation. Are we pleasing to the eye? I'm not talking about superficial beauty, although believers that are happy in the Lord do have a glow about them. There's an almost eye-pleasing joy about someone who is in love with the Lord. Their countenance is bright, and they are a joy to be around. Are we fragrant in a nice way, or would someone turn up their noses because of our aroma? Are we fragrant in a nice way, the Apostle Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthian church, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." Is there juice in our lives? Are rivers of living water flowing out of our bellies? And the music this morning just made me think of that. Are we like clouds with sweet rain? Or do we look the part of a religious person without anything flowing out of us? Jesus said in Mark's gospel, "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them." A believer bearing spiritual fruit will look the part of a believer, and their fruit will glorify the name of our Lord amongst the lost. Do you want to be fruitful this morning? I think we all do. This series of sermons that Ken talked about, 3 in all, as the Lord wills, describe what the fruit of the Spirit consists of, how that fruit is cultivated within us by God, and lastly, how we pursue this full fruitfulness in our daily walk with Christ, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. Today, we'll examine the life filled with the spiritual fruit, a life empty of spiritual fruit, and we will close with who enjoys that spiritual fruit in our lives. I'll give you a hint, it's not us. Galatians 5:22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Skipping over to verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. This is the word of the Lord. So what does a life full of spiritual fruit look like? A spiritual fruit-bearing Christian will love the Lord with all of their hearts, with all their souls, and with all their strengths, as I preached a few Sundays back. They will love their neighbors as themselves. Love covers a multitude of sins. This Christian will be patient with one another. They will not envy someone else's success. This is coming out of 1 Corinthians 13. They will help each other bear their loads in life. The spiritual fruit-bearing Christian will not keep a record of wrongs. The characteristics of love are quite challenging, as all the other aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, and require cultivation. Fortunately, we have a God in heaven who cultivates us so that we will bear fruit. As we exchange our selfishness for His gentle yet firm direction, we experience His divine cultivation, producing love within us, as well as the other aspects of fruit, such as joy. For many Christians, joy is something they seek in their lives. They mistakenly believe that joy means silly happiness. One of my favorite passages that I actually quoted, I think, last week, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, say it this way. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with diligence the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. This same Jesus who prayed earnestly that if it were possible, let the cup of the crucifixion pass from him. As he prayed, the scripture says his sweat became as great drops of blood. That doesn't really look like joy to me. But he saw the joy on the other side of the cross. He saw the same city that Abraham saw. He knew he had to be the one to take our place. He knew he had to follow his Father's will. He knew he had to experience the pain of crucifixion and the horror of separation from his Father in order to experience the joy of eternal communion with us. Paraphrasing John 16:21, joy looks like a mother experiencing pain in childbirth, then forgets that pain when their child is born. The joy she experiences eclipses the pain of childbirth. A spiritual fruit-bearing Christian will have peace in their life. Peace is power. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." He said these words looking the cross dead in its face. These words were said just after that last Passover meal, before the garden, before the arrest, before Annas and Caiaphas, Pilate, Herod, the Roman soldiers, and finally the cross. A spiritual fruit-bearing Christian will be characterized by that same kind of peace. This person will be calm in the face of the storm. They will not get their feathers ruffled very much. They will not fall to pieces when the storms of life cross their path. A spiritual fruit-bearing Christian will be patient. The Greek word for long-suffering, macrothumia, literally translates to patience. Like the preceding three aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, this one is very challenging for a lot of us. It certainly requires the loving cultivation of the expert gardener. In our world today, we do not like delays of any kind. We like things microwaved to perfection in 10 seconds or less. The great Japanese shogun Tokugawa Ieyasu said this about patience. Patience means restraining one's inclinations. This means that instead of giving in to our impulse to lash out at frustration, we patiently endure it. A spiritually fruitful life will also be characterized by kindness. This is a sweet characteristic. Who doesn't appreciate kindness? Still, it is difficult for some. Kindness is seeing someone in need and meeting that need with a smile. This takes real strength, real commitment, And usually this aspect of spiritual fruit is won through hardship. The sweetest fruit is usually left in the sun the longest. I learned that picking grapes with my grandfather. When a church has a reputation for kindness within its walls, then others are drawn to it. When we show kindness to the lost by either sharing the gospel or being good neighbors, then we show the sweetness of God and sweetness of the gospel. This is not to be confused with validating their sinfulness. Moving on, a genuine Christian bearing fruit in their lives will practice goodness. I see a lot of that in this church. Many believers working hard for the good of the others. This happens all the time. The more I spend time here, the more I'm involved with the property ministry here and the praise and worship and things like that, and all the hard work that goes into this church, I really see the goodness coming out. It's good that we lift each other up. It's good that we check on one another in this particular time because we're so isolated. It's good that we do the right thing when no one is looking. It's good that we live for the Lord. It's good that we witness for Him in our social circles or in our professional circles. If you want goodness in your walk with the Lord, if you want to bear that portion of the fruit of the Spirit, then dwell on that which is good. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Be preoccupied with those things. That'll produce goodness within your life that others will find savory and sweet at the same time, and will draw people to the cross, will draw people to Jesus, will draw people to this church. A spiritual fruit-bearing Christian will be faithful. They will be faithful to God, and they will be faithful with each other. When God does not do what we think He should, a true Christian doesn't turn around and go home. When the pastor does not say or do something a certain way, a true Christian doesn't quit the church. Quite the opposite. A spiritual fruit-bearing believer will stay connected to the Lord, stay connected to their spouse, and stay connected to their church, through the good times and the bad. The second century Christian leader and martyr, Polycarp, said it best, 86 years have I served Christ, nor has He ever done me any harm. How then could I blaspheme my King who saved me? I bless Thee for deigning me worthy of this day and this hour. May I be among Thy martyrs and drink the cup of my Lord Jesus Christ. Another sweet aspect within the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." For some reason, I think of Coco the gorilla, who was given a kitten for her birthday in 1984. I was thinking of this week. I still remember pictures of that huge, powerful gorilla comforting that little kitten. That is what gentleness looks like. Gentleness pairs nicely with patience. God, in His divine patience and gentleness, gave His grace to me, saving me. I am so glad that the Lord did not lose patience with me, although He would have been justified in doing so. Compared to His might and His majesty, I am utterly insignificant. I'm like that little kitten in the mighty arms of our Lord. As God is gentle and patient with us, we should be gentle and patient with others, particularly our brothers and sisters in the Lord. This gentleness is so very fragrant to God and to man. Oh Lord, please cultivate gentleness within us this morning. Finally, a spiritual fruit-bearing Christian will have self-control. This is like long-suffering, except that it's inward. Proverbs 25:28 says, "Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control." A truly challenging aspect of the fruit of the Spirit and requires cultivation. We must not give in to impulses that blemish our spiritual fruit. Jesus best demonstrated self-control in Matthew 26:53-54. He said, "Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and He will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? Jesus had the power to avoid the torture. He had the power to avoid the cross. He had the power to assume the kingship of the whole world. He created the world. What can we accomplish? What fruit can we bear if our lives are characterized by self-control? When we're obedient to the word that he's telling us. So we've talked about what life looks like for a believer bearing spiritual fruit. Now we will look at what life looks like for a person who does not bear spiritual fruit, or if that fruit is tarnished or bruised in some way. Before I go too deep into this second part, I want to be clear about one thing. If you're a believer saved by grace, you will be bearing some fruit. We will talk about how we can become more fruitful in our walk with the Lord in the coming weeks. For the person out there who is not bearing fruit, there is but one reason. You are not a believer. This next section speaks about the terrible existence of a person who looks like a Christian, but is not saved. This is a person who plays the part, but inward they are dead in their sin. In Matthew's gospel, we read that early one morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it and found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." This tree looked like it should produce figs, but it did not produce figs. So he cursed it. The Apostle Paul in his second letter to Timothy wrote, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people." Jesus' brother Jude also wrote about unbelievers who secretly slip in amongst the believers. He said, "These people are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead." Jude continues, "They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom the blackest darkness has been reserved forever." Church, there's nothing worse than a blemished, spoiled, fly-drawn fruit. Nor is there anything more disappointing for a farmer than a much-needed rain cloud with no rain. Can you see that contrast this morning, beloved? What Paul wrote to Timothy, he similarly said concerning the works of the flesh just prior to the fruit of the Spirit. Instead of loving God and one another, a life not filled with spiritual fruit will only be concerned with self-love. Instead of joy, there will be abject defeat and negativity. Instead of peace, there will be continual conflict. Instead of patience, the life not filled with the Spirit will be rash. Instead of kindness, brutality. The life not filled with spiritual fruit will be wanting in goodness, not filled with goodness. Instead of faithfulness, the life of a person without spiritual fruit is treacherous. Where there should be gentleness, the life without spiritual fruit is one of brutality, as we said earlier. Finally, a person who is not concerned with bearing spiritual fruit will have no sense of self-control, completely impulsive. Like that city whose walls are broken down, there is no security for that person. This sort of person, as Jude puts it, is like a cloud with no rain, or like the fig tree that Jesus cursed in Matthew chapter 21. So, we talked about what the fruit of the Spirit is, what the life of a person bearing spiritual fruit looks like, and we talked about what the life of a person who does not bear spiritual fruit. We'll be closing with this last topic. Who eats our spiritual fruit? In other words, who gets the glory from our fruit and who enjoys it? Who benefits from it? I said earlier that it's not you and I. It's God and the people around us. We bear fruit for God to enjoy. No farmer scatters seed without an expectation of return. We are a city on a hill that cannot be hid. We are salt of the earth. Jesus said himself, I'm a seed that is planted. He said a seed first dies and then it produces more seed. So that's what we are like. We spend of ourselves. We are spent. But that's the point of the fruit. We are his light, which should never be hid. Light shines in the darkness, and salt seasons and preserves. Our fruit has purpose. It is purpose for God's glory and for the world to envy. Don't you want to be envied this morning? Don't you want that love and that light in your life? Don't you want that joy in your heart, that peace in your heart? Don't you want that gentleness and that kindness to be your character? That happiness, that real joy in your life is envied by those out there in the world who have no hope, who don't know the Lord, who aren't partakers of his grace. That's the kind of person I want to be. Out of our bellies should flow rivers of living water. Is this for our benefit? No. We are the opposite of clouds with no rain. Because of the Holy Spirit within us, we are showing love for one another when people really need love. We are showing joy amid pain when other people really need to see joy. We have peace when the very storms of life are pounding against us. We bear with one another in patience. We are showing goodness when the rest of the world thrives on the bad. We keep faith with one another when Hollywood says, just get divorced. Or when others say, that's not convenient for me. We show gentleness to people. And we certainly practice self-control when we are faced with sinful impulses. That is how our fruit is appreciated by others. A great place to practice this, what we've heard about this morning, is when that food pantry over there, when we are able to open it back up. Showing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control to those less fortunate than yourself will greatly glorify the name of the Lord. And that should be our aim. Beloved, we should want to bear spiritual fruit as beautiful, as fragrant, as juicy, and as delicious as those sweet Japanese peaches. Next time we'll look about how that fruit is cultivated and how it parallels the fruit of the Spirit in the Scripture. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, honor, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen.